Episode 162, BulaNetwork.com. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at BulaNetwork.com. So he says, I've never been able to make marketing work. How can we make marketing work? Yeah, let's talk about that next. When we say we need marketing to work, that means we need it to be effective. We can throw money at things and hope for the best, which is often what people do. And sometimes people expect marketing to do too much. So, you know, what do you expect it to do for you? How can you get it to be more effective for you? What are some things that you can do to improve your marketing? These are all super critical issues for our businesses, especially for those of us that are solopreneurs. We need to make every dollar count. Not that other people don't need to do the same thing. We all do. We all have to be cost effective. I find myself repeatedly giving counsel because we really have two things that we can invest when we're talking about marketing or anything else. We can invest money. We can invest time. And usually we have to invest a bit of both, but it depends on where you are. And so I'm going to be painting with a broad brush, a roller actually, so that we can make application to as many people as possible in today's episode. For the show notes, by the way, go visit the website, Bula, B-U-L-A, network.com. Your first time here? Welcome. We're glad that you're here. You are a longtime listener. I'm especially grateful for you sticking with us through all the thick and the thin. I'm not sure which is which, and I'm not sure which is better, but marketing. Okay, first objective. Who? Who are we trying to market to? So many times we do not give this the thought that it deserves. We don't think about it because, well, in many cases, when we're starting out, we're just desperate. We need money. We need income. We need customers. Do we really care who? No, because our thought process is we'll take anybody's money. Years ago, I used to joke with people and say, you know, I needed to just wear a sandwich board. I used that phrase the other day at church. I was delivering a sermon, and I used the illustration sandwich board, and my son, who's now 32, he kind of snickered, but I realized that there was a vast number of people who have no idea what a sandwich board is. You know, it's the old, literally boards, you know, and they're painted. Some message is painted on the front and the back, and you drape it over your shoulders, and, you know, guys would walk around the sidewalks with this sandwich board, because there was a person in the middle walking around advertising. A unique concept for sure. But I would joke with people that I just needed to go around wearing a sandwich board sign saying anything for a buck. Because when we're starting out, that really is, I mean, that's kind of how we feel, don't we? Man, I will just do anything for a dollar. I'll do anything for money. So target market, you know, who's got time to fool with that? I just need business. I just need customers. That's a problem. Okay. Don't fall into that trap. If you're in that trap, don't tap the brakes, stand on the brakes, stop it. It won't work. It won't work for a lot of reasons. None of the least of which is people don't want to do business with people that are desperate. And even though we can all relate to being desperate, because at one time or another, we've all been desperate. Don't do that. Don't do that. But really, more importantly than that, even, is the fact you've got to be important to somebody. You can't be important to everybody. So figure out who you're going to be important to. I'm not going to belabor this because I've talked at length ad nauseum about this. Episode 160. Don't quote me on that. I don't know. Go back and look. No, I don't have a browser pulled up, so I'm not going to bother right now. But we've talked about niching down. We've talked about narrowing your focus. And this is really ridiculously hard for most people because their mind tells them that if they go too narrow, they're going to be limiting themselves. It never dawns on them, unless they stop and think about it thoroughly, that by specializing, by going very narrow, then they can go very deep and they can be known as somebody to some group, as opposed to being a minnow in the ocean where nobody knows you for anything. So that doesn't work. You need an illustration? BulaNetwork.com. There's your illustration. You know, I mean, who and what am I? I'm a minnow in the ocean. I admit that. I have admitted that almost since day one. But you know, you don't follow my business model, because I'm still trying to figure out my business model. Well, let's just dive into that very briefly here. So I'm refining some things. I'm thinking of some things. There are a few groups that are very important to me. Guys in their 30s and 40s. I'm very drawn to help guys in their 30s and 40s, particularly husbands and fathers. Why? Because now that I'm 55, I know some things that I so wish I would have known when I was in my 30s, and especially in my 40s. And there are so many things that by the time I got to 40, had I known some things in my 30s, yeah, I would have done some things differently. And so I'm very driven. That's the only word for it. I'm very driven to try to connect with guys in their 30s and 40s, especially husbands and fathers. And it's not so much business stuff or career stuff, but it includes that stuff. It's more guy stuff. It's more family stuff. It's more being a leader at home and being who we need to be for our kids, for our wives, for ourselves. That's big for me. Okay, well, am I doing anything with that here? No, not really, not necessarily, although I do have some clients that fall in that demographic. But to say that, oh, well, Randy does this. Randy focuses on husbands and fathers in their 30s and 40s. Why? Well, because he's just that much further up the path. And so he's trying to help guys in their 30s and 40s as they traverse the path. So he can say, watch out when you get to here. Here's something when I was your age, I wish I would have known. And now that I'm older, I know it. So, hey, let me pass this on. Yeah, I could do that all day long. I would love to do that. How can I make money doing that? I don't know. I don't care. But it is something that I'm very drawn to. That's just a for instance. So that necessarily, we're using this just for a teaching moment, mind you, that necessarily eliminates teens and guys in their 20s. Well, what's wrong with teens and guys in their 20s? Nothing, but you can't be all things to all people. Well, what about 30-year-old bachelors, 40-year-old bachelors? No, that's not what I said. Guys in their 30s and 40s who are husbands and fathers. Well, what about guys that are just husbands? It's outside the scope, really. So you've got to say no to some so that you can say yes to the ones that you really want. I keep using the fishing analogy because it's as good as any, and it's not because I'm a fisherman. I'm not. I have fished enough in my life to get it. I understand it. We've got to know what we're fishing for. What kind of fish do you want? Will any fish do? Yeah, when you're starting out, you say that. Yeah, a fish. Okay, well, let's not pretend that we're playing survival here, where any fish will do. This is our business. We're trying to build a business. We're trying to be known in a certain space. We are trying to attract certain people. And so we have to know who those people are. But this is a two-edged sword here. It's two sides of the same coin. We have to know who we are and who we want to serve, and we have to know, well, who are they? Who are these people that we want to serve? And we got to really narrow it down. Helping a client with a direct mail campaign not long ago, and the demographic started out reasonably broad, not terribly broad. I mean, it wasn't like, okay, we want to hit all the zip codes, everybody in this zip code, everybody. Okay, no. There was an age demographic and there was a financial component to the demographic. So the mailer goes out. I would call it modest success. But we kind of knew that going in. We knew we were going to have to tweak some things. And one of the things that we needed to tweak is the target. We needed to take a more precise aim at a smaller group. You know, gone are the days of, well, we're going to get on TV and we're going to take an ad out in the newspaper and we're just going to, it's a shotgun approach, right? We're just going to throw money at it. And hey, we hope the people that need what we sell, we hope they'll see it. Well, but what about the thousands of other people that will see it that don't need your stuff? Well, that's just, you know, it's the price you pay for advertising. Well, when we're thinking about a market we're going to serve, no, that's not the price. The price you'll pay is you'll be nothing to anybody. And that doesn't work. Nobody can succeed by being nothing to anybody. You've got to be important to somebody. So decide who that somebody's going to be. And there's all kinds of things. We've talked about it in the past. Go back and snoop through the website and give that some very serious thought. So think about the people that you want to serve, the people who can most benefit from what you have to offer, from what you want to offer. And when you think you have it narrowed down, go more narrow. Always go more narrow when you're starting out. I'm trying to think if I've ever encountered somebody who I thought, okay, now you're going way too narrow. I haven't had that happen. I'm not saying that it's impossible, but I haven't experienced it. I have not had a business owner say, okay, well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that I'm going to serve 42-year-old men who live in that zip code and weigh 186 pounds. You know, okay. Yeah, too narrow. I have not had that happen. Because normally we're wired the other way. I want all men in that zip code. Okay, we'll define men. Okay, well, males. Okay, 6-year-olds, 13-year-olds, 15-year-olds. Well, no, I don't want that. See, and that's what we do. We throw something out there without thinking about it. And usually, in my experience, we do it because, well, we want business or we need the business. And so we just want to act, right? Let's just do it. Come on, let's just do it. I encounter a whole lot of impatience when it comes to marketing, but hold that thought. Okay, so we have to narrow down who we're going to serve. We also have to narrow down, because this is really the whole message today, if you haven't picked up on it yet, it's about narrowing it down. It's about saying no to certain things so you can say yes to other things. Another common mistake is, aside from wanting to be everything to everybody, no, you can't do it. Narrow down. Now we know who we want to go after and we want to offer them everything we have. And we want to have them do everything. We want them to opt into our email list. We want them to make a phone call and maybe make an appointment. We want them to show up for some live event. We want this and we want that and we want this. And we give them a laundry list of things that we want because, well, these are all things that we do. And then we wonder why the response rate is pathetic. We gave them too much to do. You know, you might as well have asked them to, you know, load up a 90-pound backpack and go on a marathon hike. It's too much work. I don't know what you want me to do. Single call to action. And so many times we get this wrong. Well, one thing? You got to limit me to one thing? Yeah, just like I got to limit you to one target market, one target audience. We got to limit ourselves to one thing now that we want that target audience to do. What do we want them to do? Do we want them to write a letter? Do we want them to sign a petition? Do we want them to opt in to an email list? Do we want them to show up at 7 p.m. at a particular location? What do we want them to do? What one thing? Now, right here, I need to interject that sometimes the conversations get blurry because now what people want to do is they want to include way too many calls to action, but now they want to confuse it with the offer. Well, I want people to opt into this email list and I want them to get this and that and the other, and I want to put them on this. No. Just tap the brakes. What do you want them to do? What do they have to do? At this point, table what they're going to get. Table the benefit. Table the remedy. What do you want them to do? What are you asking them to do? And you kind of have to think about, I'm reminded of coaching little kids in hockey who've never seen certain drills and they've never done certain things before, ever. Well, there's some components that you have to incorporate in a practice with little kids, and it's true anything that you're teaching them. You have to show them, hey, look, watch me. This is what I want you to do. And then they can do it. We have to be very clear, though, in our instructions. We have to talk in terms that they can understand. Now, I'm not calling your target market 6-year-olds. Don't misunderstand. I'm really talking about clarity of communication. Really clear, simple, easy to understand communication. Come on. After all, you've read the reports. Well, haven't you? Haven't you read the report? The average person, the reading skills are at about a fourth grade level. Have you read those? Isn't that disturbing? Yeah. Well, there isn't anybody I know who is successful at marketing that won't tell you, you better go for that level of understanding. Come on. There's a reason that USA Today is not the Wall Street Journal. It's written in a very friendly way. And by the way, my hand's in the air. I like USA Today. I'll read USA Today. And I'm certainly far more literate than a fourth grade level, but I kind of like it. You know, it just, come on, just give it to me. Give it to me straight. Give it to me simple. And we got to do the same thing in our marketing messages. So what is the one thing we want them to do? Hey, team, as I look at these 6-year-olds, this is what I want you to do. And I can't make it complex. I can't make it complicated. And you don't need to make it complicated either. One call to action. Let's just take, we want them to make a phone call. Now drop the verbiage after that. I want them to make a phone call and then I want this and that. And that. No, just what do you want them to do? You want them to make a phone call? Yes. I want them to make a phone call. Well, let's worry about the other later. Okay. We want them to make a phone call. So we need to compel this target group to pick up the phone and dial a number. Yes. That's the call to action. Okay. Let's keep going. How are we going to make that happen? Well, the only way that we can make that happen is communication. Like my 6-year-old hockey teams, we have to communicate very clearly and we have to give them a reason to do it. Now, when you're a coach and you've got the whistle and you're in charge, there's an authority component. We don't have that. As marketers, we don't have that, not in that way. We can establish over time, we can establish authority in the sense that people trust us, believe us to be a reliable source of information, and so we have authority in that regard. And yes, you want to establish that. But we need to give people a compelling reason. So why are they going to pick up the phone and dial this number? What reason are we going to give them so that they will do that? Well, we have to communicate that with words and pictures, or with words or pictures, with photographs, with video, with written word, with spoken word. It's pretty much done with words and pictures. It's done with communication. Now, if it's direct mail, words, photographs, illustrations, charts, tables, but it's something that they can read, that they can discern by looking at it. Radio, podcast, something they can hear. You know, a radio spot will have sound effects. There may be sound effects to illustrate the verbal message that we can watch on TV, and the words might not even need to be spoken because we can hear and we can see what's going on. So we have to think about our platform. We have to think about the vehicle that we're using. No problem. That's all cool. But think about that. Think about what's our medium. Are we using direct mail? Are we using email? Are we using a website? Are we using radio? Are we using television? Are we using magazines? Are we using newspaper? Are we using door hangers, sandwich boards? You know, the medium does matter. But in every case, I don't care which medium you pick, the words really, really matter. We've got to really think about the language. Not nearly enough time gets spent on this either. I mean, so far, we really aren't spending enough time on any one of these things, and we need to spend time on all of these things. But we've now got to spend time thinking about the messaging, the wording. Because all we're trying to do is we are surveying this audience. And I'll just use this illustration. So there's a mailer and it's going out to a few thousand homes in a particular area. This mailing list has been determined by age and a certain financial component. And so there's a few thousand. They are the target market. Is everybody going to respond? No. No. The purpose of the marketing is to see how many of those few thousand can we get to say, hey, I'm interested. How many people can we get to step forward, to raise their hand? You pick whatever illustration you like. How many of those people can we get to say, hey, me, 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 me? I'm interested. That's the point. That's the objective. Now, the only way to get them to raise their hand or step forward is they have got to see themselves. The marketing has got to be so clear, and it's got to be constructed in such a way, and the message has got to be communicated so that they look at it and instantly go, that's me. He's talking to me. He's reading my mind. He gets me. He understands me. Now, in doing this, and you can go look at websites and you just see if this isn't so, you will see very often, you will see people in their websites, and I'm talking about businesses that are putting out offers. I'm not talking about bloggers. I'm talking about businesses and people that are trying to get customers. Their marketing messages, whether those marketing messages are blogs, whether those marketing messages are articles, whether they are videos, it doesn't matter. What you will commonly find is you will find an awful lot of people who are busy telling you why you should do business with them. Well, do business with me because, well, we all went to Texas A&M. And we did this. And by the way, we've been doing this since 1972. And yada, 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 yada. Turn on the radio and that's what you hear. You hear that kind of information. Been in business for this long. We do this and we do that and we do this other and we do it well and we back it up and we guarantee it. And, you know, we've done it for this person and that person and this other person. Okay. In your marketing message, you've really got to, in my opinion, you've really got to stop and you've got to consider the pain, the real sore spot. Where does it hurt? Little Johnny falls down. He comes running home and he's crying. And what's the first thing mom says? Where does it hurt? Even an adult who is in pain and we don't have any obvious body language that's telling us where they hurt, what do we ask them? Where does it hurt? It's the obvious question. Well, why isn't it that obvious in marketing? Very simple. Guess who mom is concerned about? Johnny. Johnny has come in the door of her kitchen and he's crying. He's her son. She's worried about him. Where does it hurt? We see someone drop to the floor, even if we don't know them. We rush over. Where does it hurt? Why do we ask? Because in that moment, this is another human being in distress and we're concerned. Well, but what about you? What about your pain? Well, forget my pain. Look, he's on the floor. Where does it hurt? You see the point? Well, yeah, he's on the floor over there, but you know, I've got this hangnail right here. I mean, everybody's rushing over to him. Forget him. Look right here. Look at that cuticle. Look at what I've just done. That's bad marketing. Bad marketing is, hey, look at my hangnail. Good marketing is, where does it hurt? I'm concerned. I'm concerned about you. You clearly are in distress. Find out about that distress. Get your focus off of yourself. Even if you think your offerings are spectacular and quite frankly, you should believe your offerings are spectacular. If they're not, why are you in business? Come on. You think we need another mediocre, whatever, fill in the blank? No. If you're mediocre, get lost. Go out of business already. No, we need you to be spectacular. We need your service to be wonderful. We need the customer experience to be remarkable. We don't need you to be just as good as everybody else. We need you to be better. But table that laundry list of things that make you great and wonderful and better. We're thinking about the target market. What is their problem? Where are they hurting? Why are you crying? What's wrong? It's all of those natural questions that we ask when our little kids come in the kitchen and they clearly have been hurt. Grandson the other day, my wife takes him to the park. And I don't know, I wasn't with them, but she came back describing it. They're on monkey bars or who knows what. They belong on monkey bars, that's for sure. And he's grabbing one thing and grabbing another. Well, he slipped, he lost his grip on one thing and busted his, he busted his lip is what he did. And of course, you know, he cried like he would. Started to say something ugly. He's my grandson. I love him. He busts his lip and he's bleeding. Well, then older brother, who's still just, you know, a kid, older brother starts crying and, you know, it's all over, but the shouting, I mean, you know, when they saw the blood, it was like, oh man, you know, so he busted his lip. So this morning he's showing his busted lip up, you know, off to me but okay, it's clear where the pain is, busted lip. But for our prospects, we normally, it's not anywhere near that clear. We have to find out. Now, once we find out, it's really, really critical that we use the language that they use. So don't get this wrong. All marketing begins with an assumption. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's necessary. If you do not begin with an assumption, you're really lost. You have to begin with an assumption that your target market, for instance, that they fall. Well, let's use my illustration. The assumption is these are 30 to 40 year, these are husbands and fathers in their 30s and 40s. There you go. That's a much better way to say it, says the wordsmith behind the microphone. Husbands and fathers in their 30s and 40s. That's the target market. Are there any exceptions to that? Well, no, I'm assuming that's the target market. Now, I might find out, okay, it's husbands and fathers that are 35 to 42. That's the kind of refinement that happens, but you got to begin with an assumption. So you begin with your assumption. You got to do the same thing when it comes to the message. When it comes to the way that you're going to word the message, what are these people worried about? What's the pain? Well, okay, let's take my target group and let's kind of think this through out loud together, says the wordsmith behind the mic. Husband and father in his 30s is probably concerned about making enough money as these kids grow older and might have child number one, but might not yet have child number two, and might be thinking, can we afford child number two? And we're going to have child number two, and worried about my career, and I'm not quite yet really solid in my career. Where guy in the 40s is probably thinking, college, man, college, how are we going to afford college? So their concerns, even though they're in the same kind of sort of demographic, boy, the concerns of a 30-year-old dad and husband, they're very different than a 40-year-old dad and husband. And you know what? They're going to use different words and different phrases to describe what they're feeling. And that's where you have to really pay close attention. You've got to message them like they message their own pain. It's the fastest way that you're going to get people to step forward or raise their hand and go, man, he's talking about me. Now, we all do the same thing. We all do the same thing. I've gone to the doctor before. Years ago, I had chronic tendonitis in one elbow. And Dr. Bonnet was my doctor. In fact, I did a tribute to Dr. Bonnet, and it's one of the few times that I've done anything like this. Dr. Bonnet, B-O-N-N-E-T-T. Go to my website and type in Dr. Bonnet. I'd like you to watch that video. I paid tribute to this man, and I think I titled it something to the effect, you know, the man who gave me scars. He did surgery on both of my elbows. We lost Dr. Bonnet a couple of years ago. He had a terminal disease and succumbed to it. And my relationship with him was strictly a patient, but he was just such a terrific guy. And I remember the first time I went to see him, I had chronic tendonitis, and it finally got so bad, I would have difficulty picking up a soda can, a glass, and I mean, painful. And I'm like, man, this is not right. What in the world? So I go in and I sit down and I was describing this. He grabs my forearm and he gets his thumb and he presses and he said, "Hurts right there, doesn't it?" I go, "Man, yes, that's it. That's it. Yeah, you got tendonitis." Now, that's what we need to do as marketers. Dr. Bonnet's experience and his know-how and his expertise allowed him to take what information he got from me and to immediately, literally, he put his thumb right on it. Nailed it right off the bat. Can you do that in your marketing? It's hard. You got to really think about it. Can you go put your finger right on the pain where they go, "Yes, that's it right there, right? That you have hit the spot." People sometimes get massages and whatnot, or when maybe, well, it happens, you know, if my wife, "Would you scratch my back right there?" "Yeah. And no, lower, you know, and the minute you hit the spot, yeah, right there. That's what you got to do with your marketing. You've got to hit the spot so that they go, "Yeah, right there. That's me. This is me." It takes work. You're not just going to pull this out of your hat and have it hit. I think the reason that so many people fail at marketing is really, you know, these few simple things. I don't know that there's any brilliance behind it. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of listening. It's a lot of paying attention. I guess my bottom line advice for nearly everyone is the greater your awareness. And somebody the other day, well, I can tell you what it was. I took a Perry Marshall marketing DNA test. And I really hadn't thought about it prior to that, but I was discussing that with somebody. And the results of that, by the way, you can find at the website, Bula, BULANetwork.com. Anyway, I took this free assessment that Perry Marshall did. It was a marketing DNA thing, and I scored very, very high on empathy. And that was the word that came up in our conversation. And we were talking about copywriting, and we were talking about the people that can have the highest empathy for the target market, that can really get behind their eyes, feel what they feel, can make the biggest connection. Yeah, yours truly. I score outrageously high in that regard. I'm much more prone to that activity than I am to a bunch of analytics and metrics and let's crunch these numbers. And I'm much more interested in the psychology of the thing. I am much more interested in why do they feel the way they feel and how are they describing how they feel? So I commonly advise business owners, if you can sit down with someone and if you can have them articulate, and you can't just be as brassy as saying, you know, "Well, you know, tell me what scares you." I mean, it's not that. I gave somebody some advice just this morning because gas prices here, man, have gas prices gone up where you are? Gas prices have gone up 30 cents a gallon in the last 3 weeks here. They claim it's because we're on the tail end of the winter blend and the summer blend is coming. Explain that to me. That makes no sense to me at all, but that's what the news reported the other night, that's why gas is going up. But if you ask somebody, when you pull into the station and you see that the gas is 10 cents higher than it was the week before when you didn't need it, and now you do, now you got to have it, how do you feel? They'll tell you how they feel. And you have to pay close attention to how they describe that feeling. Because we might say, you know, mad, angry. They might use the word irked. It irks me. These are subtle differences in language that are very important in our marketing messages. So I hope that helps you. Hope that helps you. Another one's in the books. Please go visit the website. And when you do, I would be very grateful if you would plug your email address into Inside the Yellow Studio. Every Sunday afternoon at about 5 o'clock, I send out an email and it's a video. I do a video especially for those inside the Yellow Studio. It's for subscribers only. Well, okay, I violated that. I did release one that some people said, we think this would be, this might be good for other people. So I did put it out there, but I normally don't do that. I appreciate your time. Appreciate your attention. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is BoolaNetwork.com. This is the Yellow Studio.